Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're live on the scene where a deputy was hit by a vehicle while directing traffic in front of a school.
Plus, at least one person is in custody this noon after thieves stole four high-end cars and blasted through a fence.
And today marks 22 years since the worst act of terrorism on American soil. How people are remembering the victims, their families, and the first responders.
We have breaking news to tell you about in Durham, right outside the brand new Northern High School.
The school is on lockdown at this very moment. We know there was a crash in front of the school. Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with what we know right now. Michelle.
Yeah, guys, we have limited information right now, but what we do know is that the school, Northern High School, is on lockdown. The school has not said why they are on lockdown, but as Renee mentioned, police did respond to a crash right in front of the school. Right now, it's unclear whether that is related to this lockdown. District officials and officials with the sheriff's office are headed to the scene right now to give an update on what's happening. But this is the brand new high school. This is Northern High School on Roxborough Street that opened last week. Students had their first day of classes last Tuesday. We do have WRAL's Monica Casey on the way to the scene as well. As soon as she gets there, she will have more information on this lockdown.
Michelle, thanks. A Cumberland County Sheriff's deputy is in the hospital with serious injuries after he was hit by a car while directing traffic at an elementary school.
This happened outside Lake Rim Elementary around 7:30 this morning. WRAL's Keenan Willard is at the scene of that crash with what people there saw. Keenan.
Now, Jeff, they tell me that it happened really at this crosswalk right in front of the school behind me here outside of the elementary. They say that this crash was loud enough that some of them heard it from inside of their homes. That's how loud the impact was. And you can see here some of the evidence as to why. This is a picture shared by the sheriff's office showing what they say is the car that hit their deputy while he was directing traffic in front of Lake Rim Elementary School around 7:22. This morning, you can see the significant damage to the car's windshield from the sheer impact. That deputy was hospitalized. And the last update we have from investigators is that his injuries are serious, but he is stable. This happened during school drop-off this morning when hundreds of children are in this area at not one but two schools nearby on this street. And neighbors tell me while that drop-off is happening in the early morning, the way the sun shines through the windshields of drivers who are traveling eastbound on this road, it's completely blinding. And they say with that many children on the street in this area at that time, that's a dangerous combination.
Yes, it is. I don't know what you can do because you can't do it through the sun, but, you know, you just have to drive slower.
We're staying in contact with the Cumberland Sheriff's Office regarding the condition of that deputy. They also tell us that the driver of the car that hit him stayed on scene to cooperate with their investigation. We're reaching out now for any update as to potential charges that could be filed in connection with this wreck. Jeff.
All right, Keenan Willard live at the scene of that accident there. Keenan, thank you.
We are following breaking news in Johnston County, where four high-end sports cars were stolen, a chase ensued, and then a wreck. It's been a busy morning, and we understand one suspect has been caught and an arrest made. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live in Clayton, where all of this began. Chelsea.
Yeah, Renee, we're right off of Highway 70 on Sadisco Road in Clayton at an international auto auction site. And I want to draw your attention to this fence over here. This was being repaired this morning. And that fence there that you can see kind of mangled and bent is actually where one of the suspects blew through with a high-end Camaro early this morning. Now, according to the Johnston County Sheriff's Office, employees here at this plant came to work and noticed that four high-end sports cars were in the process of being stolen. It was two Camaros, a Corvette, and a Hellcat. So they immediately called authorities. The authorities were called here, and that's when they noticed one of these Camaros being stolen off the lot. A deputy from Johnston County started on a chase with this guy down Highway 70, and that chase ended in Wilson Mills, where the suspect, a 17-year-old, crashed into a power pole, and that has caused a traffic mess that we understand is still going on. That suspect did run from the scene. Deputies used a canine to track the suspect, who was arrested and will face a long list of charges. Now, the Johnston County Sheriff's Office tells me right now they have not located those three other vehicles that were stolen. We've asked the owners here to speak with us, possibly show us some surveillance video of what happened. But right now, we've been directed to their corporate office. Of course, we're still following the story and we'll have updates in our later newscasts.
All right, we know you will. Chelsea Donovan, live in Johnston County. Thanks, Chelsea. Two people are charged with littering after people in the Rollsville area found anti-Semitic flyers in nearly all of the driveways. It happened over the weekend in the Elizabeth Springs neighborhood. Rollsville police stopped a vehicle in question and issued charges after a roadside investigation. The Wake County District Attorney's Office will decide if any additional charges will be filed.
It's been 22 years since the 9/11 attacks, but the nation will never forget. President Biden will mark the occasion later today at a military base in Anchorage, Alaska, as he returns from his trip to the G20 summit in India and Vietnam. Before boarding a plane for Alaska, President Biden paid his respect to the late Senator John McCain. The president visited a memorial near the site where McCain had been shot down by the North Vietnamese in 1967. Biden touched a bow and bowed his head for a moment. The 31-year-old McCain spent 2 years in solitary confinement. He was eventually released in 1973. McCain and Biden became friends while serving in the Senate together for decades. American Airlines Flight 77 was hijacked by terrorists and crashed into the Pentagon. 64 people on that aircraft and 125 people at the Pentagon died. A huge flag was unfurled there this morning, and a moment of silence was observed as the names of each victim was read.
As in years past, a solemn ceremony was also held this morning at Ground Zero at the former site of the World Trade Center. The ceremony began with a bell ringing and a moment of silence at the National September 11th Memorial. Bagpipers then began to play as an American flag was carried through the crowd. Vice President Kamala Harris and other political leaders were in attendance for today's event. And in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, people gathered to remember the victims of Flight 93. The plane was initially headed from Newark to San Francisco when it was hijacked. Flight 93 did not arrive at the hijacker's intended target, the nation's capital, because of the courageous actions of the people on board.
The North Carolina National Guard held a 9/11 remembrance ceremony this morning at the Joint Force Headquarters on Gold Star Drive in Raleigh. A single trumpet played as many came out to pay their respects. They paid tribute to those who lost their lives and the heroes who went in to save lives. Governor Roy Cooper joined the National Guard in a wreath laying, hanging that wreath next to two uniforms which honor fallen servicemen.
That day we learned more than we ever wanted to know about terror and shock and outrage. But we also learned about preparation. We learned about resilience. We learned about heroism from first responders and everyday people who ran toward the fire and chaos and death.
Nearly 3,000 people were killed on 9/11, including 343 firefighters. Trades on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange took a moment before trading began to honor the lives lost on 9/11. First responders from New York City were met with applause as they entered the floor of the stock exchange today. They rang a bell once to observe a moment of silence for those lives lost from the 9/11 attacks. Regular business then got underway a few minutes after that remembrance.
The new advisory for Hurricane Lee shows the storm strengthening. It's likely to be Category 4 for the rest of today. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at the latest path and how it will affect the North Carolina coast.
It's here, of course, right here to the north of the Caribbean. It's not the only system out there, so we have a lot to talk about in the tropics and, of course, with our weather as well. But, of course, we're going to start with Hurricane Lee. It's a Category 3 hurricane right now. It is likely to strengthen a little bit more slowly than the forecast was at the 5 a.m. advisory. So this is what's new in the 11 o'clock advisory. So new at noon, it is strengthening more slowly. It is likely to develop into a Cat 4 today, but it looks like it won't remain as a Cat 4 for as long as the 5 o'clock forecast was. It's likely to be a little weaker as it comes near Bermuda as a Category 1 storm. It's still likely to remain well offshore of North Carolina. Its weakening begins on Thursday as it starts to make that northward turn as the sea surface temperatures are much cooler along its forecast path. So it is moving northwest at 8 miles per hour right now. Winds at 120, so not much change since the 11 o'clock advisory in terms of intensity. But again, it does look like it could reach Category 4, potentially late tonight, early tomorrow. Then it makes that northerly turn. And this is new, and of course, this is important. It looks like it could be a whole category weaker as it moves past Bermuda as a Category 1, but it's going to be awfully close to Bermuda. And of course, the closer that gets, especially if the storm passes to the left of Bermuda, it's going to be right in the zone where we tend to see the heaviest damage. So we'll be watching for that very closely. The path continues to be several hundred miles off the coast of North Carolina, and it looks like it could make landfall potentially up around Maine or Newfoundland. So we're going to continue to watch that very closely. Of course, the model plots continue to push that up to the north fairly quickly. We're going to talk a little bit more about our forecast. A couple of hot days, but I'll show you why we turn cooler later in the week coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. It's a race against time in Morocco after the deadliest earthquake in 6 decades. Rescuers and volunteers are trying to find survivors more than 48 hours later. So far, more than 2,500 people are counted among the dead. As Raf Sanchez reports, there have been a few glimmers of hope.
The death toll here in the disaster zone is rising all the time, and much of the worst devastation is in remote mountain communities like this. We're in the village of Moulay Brahim. We're about 30 miles east of the epicenter of Friday's 6.8 magnitude earthquake, and you can see the damage around me. This tower is all that's left of what was once the local shrine, and this community was home to some 3,000 people. Residents here tell us 40 people were killed in the quake. That is more than 1% of the population. We met a man who lost not only his wife, but also his 3 daughters and his baby son. But despite the heartbreak, the rescue efforts continue. We have seen both professional rescue teams here, but also just local people who, hand by patient hand, are picking through the rubble, trying to save the lives of their neighbors. Now, there was a rescue here earlier, which is giving people hope that they may still find survivors. And experts will tell you it is the first 72 hours after the earthquake that are so crucial. Teams on the ground working to exploit that so-called golden window and save the lives of anybody they can. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Moulay Brahim, Morocco.
The United Nations and President Biden have said they are ready to provide assistance, and the World Bank has said it has offered Morocco its full support.
Mount Kilauea is erupting again. It's the third time this year. It took a 2-month break, but the Kilauea volcano was again glowing with lava on the Big Island. The gases released by the eruption will cause volcanic smog downwind of Kilauea. The volcano's alert level was raised to warning status, and the aviation color went to red, its highest level, as scientists work to evaluate the eruption and associated hazards.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Durham is entering its second week with some still not getting their trash picked up because the solid waste workers are striking for higher pay. But this afternoon, we've learned at an 11 o'clock meeting that they had, the workers will end the strike for the citizens. They will go back to work tomorrow. They say they're continuing to negotiate with the city's manager's office. They are overworked and underpaid. They're asking for a cost of living increase as well as a $5,000 bonus. Another rally is happening tonight at Durham City Hall at 7 p.m.
Next at noon, the Board of Trustees is meeting right now on campus at UNC, the closed-door meeting that could determine the future of Tar Heel receiver Tez Walker.
Also, the American trapped in a cave in Turkey is closer to surfacing. How rescuers are using explosives to get him out.
Plus, the public was invited to Fort Liberty today at 12:30. The message as the post marks 22 years since the 9/11 attacks.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Breaking news this hour, the UNC Board of Trustees meeting right now to discuss legal options in the Tez Walker eligibility case.
WRL's Ken Smith joins us now with some background that brought us this emergency meeting, Ken.
Yeah, Jeff and Renee, just before 9 o'clock this morning, WRL investigative reporter Brian Murphy worked his sources and confirmed the Board of Trustees was in fact meeting about Tez Walker and its legal options. Initially, the university would only say the board was meeting to receive a legal update regarding an athletics matter. Tez Walker was an all-ACC preseason pick at wide receiver. He was supposed to be one of Drake May's weapons, but the NCAA ruled Walker would be ineligible to play this entire season because of a new rule about players who have transferred twice. This was the NCAA's way of tightening the rules on two-time transfers. Now, Walker, a junior from Charlotte, played the 2021 and 22 seasons at Kent State. Now, before that, he enrolled at North Carolina Central, but the 2020 season got canceled because of the pandemic. Walker committed to UNC in late December and enrolled on January 9th. Now, Governor Cooper even wrote a personal letter appealing to the president of the NCAA on behalf of Walker. Coach Mack Brown has been critical of the NCAA's handling of the Walker case. Our crew working this story says Coach Brown is in at that meeting right now. Look for any developments during this newscast and in our news starting at 4, as well as WRL.com and the WRL News app. Jeff.
Be interesting to see if the NCAA changes course. Ken, thanks. Tonight, you can give Fayetteville City Council your thoughts on a proposed youth curfew. The curfew would apply to anyone under the age of 18. It would go into effect at midnight on weeknights, 1 a.m. on weekends, and it would be lifted at 5 each morning. Some council members say this would be a good step toward reducing gun violence in Fayetteville. Others say they need more data to prove the curfew would work. Tonight's City Council meeting is at 7 o'clock at City Hall. Rescue teams are making progress in carrying an American researcher up from the depths of a cave in Turkey. The team reached a base camp that's about 600 feet below the surface. The group will rest there before continuing the journey to the surface. Kelly Cobier explains it's a slow and meticulous process.
American scientist trapped deep underground in a Turkish cave is more than halfway to the surface. Carefully hoisted up on a stretcher in stages, 700 feet on Sunday, another several hundred feet overnight.
They have to prepare that stretcher so he doesn't slide in it. They have to prepare that stretcher because they're going to get to a tight spot and they're going to turn it on end.
Mark Dickey was on an international expedition in the Morka cave when he suddenly became ill 9 days ago, suffering from internal bleeding, a medical team giving him blood transfusions 3,000 feet underground. The 40-year-old is now stable but still unable to make the challenging climb out on his own, recording this video last week.
I'm up, I'm alert, I'm talking, but I'm not healed on the inside yet.
More than 150 rescuers from Turkey and other countries have been working around the clock for days to carry him out, using explosives to blast open the narrowest passages to make enough room for Dickey to pass through on a stretcher. The cave, cold, pitch black, and wet, with water-filled chambers and steep vertical drops.
The cave changes as it goes up, and so it's leveling off. There's more horizontal movement.
A medical team trying to keep Dickey's condition as stable as possible while making the strenuous climb.
We have to do it very carefully because we cannot risk any condition worsening of Mark. And so we must pay attention meter after meter.
Awaiting him at the surface, his fiance, Jessica Van Oord, who was with him on the expedition. Mark and the hundreds involved finally nearing the light at the end of the tunnel.
That was Kelly Cobier reporting right there. Can you imagine? They're using explosives to blast apart the narrow areas to get that stretcher through there and bring him out.
It's been really amazing to see video of him and hear from him that he seems to be doing well, even though he's fighting that illness. But a lot of the rescuers are also very experienced cavers. They're the only ones who know how to even get into those crevices to get him out.
Yeah, experts all the way around. Can't wait for him to see daylight. We are seeing sunshine right now in some areas. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now.
It looks so pretty, behind you guys right now. It just looks like a picture, that blue sky, those little puffy cumulus clouds. We're seeing that in Fayetteville as well, but the angle of that camera, you just have such a pretty deep blue sky there. But definitely a bright and sunny and beautiful day in Fayetteville, and we're seeing that all across the viewing area. 83 degrees right now in the triangle with a dew point of 67. That dew point at 67 is still on the high-ish side, but that's going to change in another couple of days. We're going to see a nice blast of fall that comes in. Our temperature this afternoon likely to hit upper 80s, and that's a few degrees above normal for this time of year, with a bit of moisture in the atmosphere. We do have just a little bit of a heat index. It's not huge, and we're not seeing it everywhere. But for example, it's 85 in Fayetteville, but feels like 90. It's 83 in Clinton, but feels like 90. Feels like 90 in Goldsboro. But in Rocky Mount, it's only 2 degrees difference. And goodness, Roxboro and South Hill looking very comfortable with temperatures and heat indices there in the 70s. Around town, looking at 88 in Raleigh, 87 Durham, 91 in Fayetteville with the heat index. It's going to feel like 90 to low 90s, but our normal high is 84. We're likely to hit 91 tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to end up being the warmest day of the next seven. Temperatures are still a little warm on Wednesday, but we're going to see a front coming through Tuesday night into Wednesday, and then that's going to open the door to some really nice feeling temperatures. Some areas, we may see highs only in the 70s Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, right around the triangle, probably going to hold it right about 80 degrees, and it may last for quite some time. The 16th through the 20th, we still have the potential for below normal temperatures, and again, our normal is 84, so anything below that should feel very nice compared to what we saw last week, that's for sure. Here's a look at the current situation. We have a front that's nearly stationary sitting over us right now. It was with us all through the weekend. We had some waves riding along that front to bring us rain, but we don't today necessarily. We still have a very slim chance of a shower or thunderstorm. The latest run of the computer model is awfully dry, and so it's not really showing up here. But earlier, it looked like we could see maybe an isolated shower or two from the triangle area southward. So we do have a 20% chance showing up there this evening. Hurricane Lee, again, the 11 o'clock advisory, moving northwest at 8 miles per hour, winds at 120. This is the week where we're going to see impacts here in North Carolina. Rip current danger. We're going to see heavy surf, which of course makes it dangerous to swim, but it also can create erosion, maybe some overwash on roads and some coastal flooding. It's likely to be Cat 4 for just a little while tomorrow, and then it begins to weaken as it moves into some cooler ocean temperatures. So it's Cat 2 on Thursday morning. It's Cat 1 on Friday morning with 90 mile per hour winds as it moves past Bermuda. Each run of the models and the forecast keeps it a little bit weaker coming past Bermuda, and that's definitely good news for folks there. It's not the only storm out there. We have Margot, and then we also have another wave that's coming off the coast of Africa. Margot likely to become a Category 1, but just kind of hanging out there in the middle of the Atlantic. Doesn't look like it's going to be an issue, but we'll be watching that wave coming off the coast of Africa. We have some nice cool mornings in our forecast too. Look at that. 50s coming up for the end of next week, but of course we do have rain with the front coming through. We'll walk through the timeline for that late Tuesday into Wednesday coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. There could soon be a new way to test for Parkinson's disease. Researchers are trying out a blood test that could diagnose the condition. Today on our news at 5:30, the progress they're making and how long before the test could become widely available.
Plus, over 10 years since a near-death experience, a man is still paying off his medical bills. Five on Your Side helps out tonight on WRL News at 6. School is still ahead this noon. School districts across the nation are looking for ways to keep students and staff safe.
I think anything that's going to save lives is always worth it.
How a company that uses AI could help them achieve that goal.
Also, the IRS is targeting hundreds of millionaires and businesses who owe back taxes.
Take you to a live look right now in Bladen County. This is White Lake as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. The IRS is tracking down about 1,600 millionaires who owe back taxes. Dozens of businesses are also in their crosshairs. The IRS says the 1,600 millionaires owe at least $250,000 each in back taxes. 75 large business partnerships with about $10 billion on average in assets are also targeted for tax noncompliance. A boost in funding and artificial intelligence is making the mission possible.
JCPenney is going back to the basics. The 121-year-old department store is reviving the core of its business to cater to working-class people.
The company hopes to boost traffic by investing more than $1 billion over 3 years. It plans to change its selections to cheaper alternatives, which they believe will do well in an economy that's stretching family budgets. The changes include 25 relaunched private label brands. Half of Americans plan to start their holiday shopping by Halloween. According to a new report, a third of people expect inflation to affect their shopping habits. A quarter are stressed about the cost of holiday shopping, and 13% feel pressured to spend more than they're comfortable with. Credit cards are expected to be the most popular form of payment.
People across the United States are pausing to remember the victims of the 9/11 attack. We'll take you to Fort Liberty, where a solemn tribute wrapped up just a short time ago. Plus,
good security comes in layers. Do I think we can really help in certain situations? Absolutely. But are we the end-all, be-all? No.
We'll take a closer look at how artificial intelligence could be the future of school security. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
To live up to all those that have given their lives. That was the message today from Fort Liberty's commander as the Army Post marks 22 years since the 9/11 attacks.
WRAL's Eric Miller was there for the ceremony.
22 years ago today, on a day that looked and felt a lot like this one, the world changed, and changed especially for those men and women serving here at Fort Liberty. Today, standing underneath a cauldron forged from steel from the World Trade Centers, commanders reminded the crowd of that sacrifice and of the fight they say in many ways is still ongoing.
It began with the anthem.
To remember the events of September 11th.
And prayer. Soldiers standing at attention and solemn salutes, all as Fort Liberty commemorates the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. In attendance were the post's top commanders, past and present. Speaking at the podium, current commanding general Christopher Donahue says today is a day to honor the sacrifice of those who lost their lives that day and in the wars since.
Are we living up to the people that we described? It does not matter where it is. Or what happens. We have to live up to that.
In the wake of 9/11, more troops were deployed and supported from Fort Liberty to the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan than any other Army post. A legacy that lives on even two decades later. Eric Miller, WRAL News, Fort Liberty.
To recognize 9/11 and remember the lives lost, UNC Health Rex and the Blood Connection will hold blood drives today. Just look for the Blood Connection vehicles outside Rex hospitals in Raleigh and Holly Springs and outside the Rex Wellness Centers in Cary, Wakefield, and Knightdale. All blood donors will receive $50 in rewards from the Blood Connection. To register, visit thebloodconnection.org.
People are gathered at Keenan Stadium at UNC this morning for the annual 9/11 stair climb. This is video from a previous year's event. The event pays tribute to New York City firefighters by climbing the equivalent of the 110 stories in the World Trade Center. A similar event took place over the weekend in Greensboro. Participants climbed flights of stairs at the Eugene parking deck 11 times. And the action represents approximately 73 flights of stairs that the New York Fire Department reached on 9/11. Participants say it's extremely important to remember the individuals who made the ultimate sacrifice.
First responders can get a free chicken biscuit from Chick-fil-A tomorrow. The Raleigh Chamber is hosting a First Responders Appreciation Breakfast and is partnering with Chick-fil-A to offer this promotion at two locations. First responders can go to the Capitol Crossing or Falls Village locations of Chick-fil-A from 6:30 in the morning until 10:30 a.m. Tuesday morning, tomorrow morning, to participate. Just make sure to be in uniform or bring your ID or badge with you. WRAL has a full list of ways you can honor and remember those who lost their lives on this day 22 years ago. Visit our website, WRAL.com, or the WRAL News app.
Now to new developments in that desperate manhunt for an escaped murderer in Pennsylvania who's managed to avoid capture for 11 days. And the latest sighting, captured on a doorbell camera, shows he has now altered his appearance. NBC's George Solis has been covering this story from the start.
The race to find Daniello Cavalcante stretching into its 12th day.
the convicted killer slipping outside of a search area being contained by hundreds of police.
How do you explain that?
There are a number of challenges in any investigation. No perimeter is 100% secure, ever. We did a very good job. I'm not going to make an excuse to you. I wish it had not happened.
Authorities sharing new photos of Cavalcante from a doorbell security camera, saying he showed up at the homes of two former co-workers Saturday night, possibly looking for help. Take a look at this dramatic change in the escaped inmate's appearance compared to these surveillance photos from last week.
Cavalcante is now clean-shaven and wearing a bright green hooded sweatshirt.
According to Pennsylvania State Police, Cavalcante stole a 2024 transit van from a local dairy farm Saturday evening and abandoned the vehicle in a field nearly 40 minutes from the original search perimeter.
We are obviously very concerned that Cavalcante has or will attempt to steal another vehicle to facilitate his escape.
Cavalcante on the run, escaping from prison by scaling a wall after he was sentenced to life without parole for the brutal killing of his ex-girlfriend, Deborah Brandau.
It's been difficult, but it's even more difficult now that it's in our backyard.
Residents here ready for their neighborhood to no longer be home to a massive manhunt, as authorities pledge they're using every resource to recapture Cavalcante.
We'll get him. It's a matter of time.
In denial, perhaps, the surprising percentage of American men who believe they're in good health, even though their habits might say otherwise.
Plus, out of nowhere, an object smashed into a windshield as a family is driving on the interstate. What it was and what happened to the five people who were in that car. American men believe they are leading a healthier lifestyle than they actually are. Four out of five men in the U.S. think the way they are living is conducive to good health. But it turns out nearly half of American men do not get a yearly physical. Just half of them say they follow a healthy diet, and about a quarter admit they're couch potatoes who watch television more than 5 hours a day. Starting today, breweries across the U.S. are launching an adult beverage to raise awareness about the suicide prevention hotline. We're going to take a break right now. We need to step aside and get you out to Durham Northern High School right now. There's a live news conference happening.
That's involved probably three or four of our students. I'm not going to go to any detail at this point. We were able to apprehend those students. They are with us, and we're doing everything possible when it comes to discipline and the law enforcement. They are also involved to support us in this particular situation. I'm very grateful for our law enforcement. They were right here close to 11 o'clock when the incident happened. They were able to support us, and they're going to continue supporting us as well. When it comes to our families, we're able to communicate as soon as possible. When we knew we were on lockdown, we're able to communicate. In about a few minutes, we're going to release our lockdown so that our students can go to the lunch and be able to resume their normal school day. I'm not going to call this normal because anytime there's an incident like this happen, we got to make sure that there's trauma and our students need support. We're having all our counselors today on our campuses, and we're going to bring more tomorrow as well for all our students that's going to need support. They will have those with our student services. That's pretty much where I'm going to stop with my remarks. Now I'm going to pass it on to our sheriff.
Thank you, Dr. Mabinga. Good afternoon, everyone. At approximately 10:55 this morning, there was an incident that occurred at Northern High School. We were notified by personnel at the high school, and our school resource officers, our SROs, acted quickly to work with those administrators to neutralize the threat. Individuals have been taken into custody for questioning. This is an ongoing investigation. Those who unfortunately suffered injury have been transported to a local hospital for treatment. And as I said, this is an ongoing investigation. The school, at this point, there is no threat. The threat has been neutralized, and as Dr. Mbenga mentioned, hopefully we will resume normal operation as much as possible within the next few minutes. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's
okay. Can you tell us if there were any weapons involved in this incident?
We are told that there was an instrument that resembled a knife. I have not examined that instrument yet, but we do know that one individual suffered what appeared to be injury consistent with a knife wound. Okay.
Is there any comment on school just started September 5th, or just any comment on just how this happened today?
We resume our school really well. We're able to go over all the protocols that's supposed to be done at the beginning of the year. And fight happens sometimes on campuses, and we're doing our due diligence to make sure that our students are really refraining from those behaviors.
And can you say again how many students were either involved or taken into custody and injured?
I cannot really give you that specifics. We're still investigating.
Last week there were four calls to law enforcement to Northern High School. Some during school hours, some not during school hours. Including fights, weapon on school property. I mean, how are you assuring parents and even these students that they're safe attending Northern?
We really want to make sure we are reinforcing those good behaviors. We have really good handbook that's pretty much speak to those behaviors, and our good schools and our principals, they are fully aware they have to bring those students to the gymnasium or to the auditorium, really laying down those expectations. Unfortunately, there are always one or two that will do things that they're not supposed to do. All I can tell to our parents, we're doing our due diligence, making sure that we are reinforcing those rules and making sure that we're communicating with our students as we're building those relationships.
Yeah, as Dr. Mbinga just mentioned, it is an ongoing investigation, and we want to ensure that to the public that the kids are safe here at Northern. We have a great relationship. Our school resource officer worked greatly in hand-in-hand with the Northern High School folks and all of our DPS schools. So right now I can't give you any specifics about the incident because it is unfolding as we speak. Well, anytime there's injury or violence or a fight, it's always serious, and we take it very seriously. And we have these conversations over the summer as we prepare for our kids to come back. Again, I cannot say enough about the great partnership that we have, and law enforcement and DPS acted very quickly to mitigate the risk and bring this situation under control as much as possible. And we're going to continue to work together and continue to be prepared because these things will happen, unfortunately. The schools are not immune to violence or any incident of this nature. So that is why it's important that we ensure our public and our parents and our students that we are going to do everything we can to make sure that they're safe.
We'll send out a little news release later. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Superintendent of Schools for Durham, Dr. Pascal Mbinga, right there with Sheriff Clarence Burkhead, giving an update on what was a lockdown situation. We had very little details when we told you about this from the Life Center right off the top of this newscast. But what we found out from that was that there was some sort of fight, some sort of altercation, some sort of a weapon found that resembled a knife with some injuries. That was the surprising part of this, that those folks were taken to the hospital. We don't know how many people were hurt.
And this did happen on campus. This all started around 11 this morning when school officials notified police and sheriff's office about the threat. They say some people are injured. They didn't specify how many or who. Those people were taken to the hospital. They say the threat has been neutralized. In their words, that is no longer a threat. That emergency lockdown will be lifted there soon, and students will be able to go about their day. But the school is just only not even in its first week of school. They started school on Tuesday, September 5th because of the delays, because of storms in Durham that delayed the opening of this new campus for Northern High School in Durham, but that lockdown lifting just in the next few moments.
And the person who did this in custody as well, so that's how the threat is over. We'll have plenty more of this on WRL.com all day long. But Elizabeth Gardner right now in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look around town there, sunshine.
It's a pretty day out there. It's a little bit warm and sticky, but nothing like what we saw last week where we had some triple-digit days. Goldsboro looking pretty with blue sky and just a few puffy cumulus clouds. Seeing the same thing at Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, this is our newsroom right there in Fayetteville. Looks like there are people out enjoying the nice weather today. It's only going to get nicer as the week wears on. Our Hurricane Lee is moving northwest at 8 miles per hour, winds at 120. So not much change since the 5 a.m. advice. advisory. The things that have changed with this storm are it's just not strengthening quite as fast. It looked like we could see most of the day today with it at Category 4. It's still likely to be at Category 3 and maybe just briefly Cat 4. Of course, Cat 3 is still a major hurricane, and it's likely to be a major hurricane until Thursday morning. That's when it drops to 105. It drops to 90 mile per hour winds by 8 a.m. on Friday and passes fairly close to Bermuda. Glad to see that it continues to weaken. As it moves up into this area, the ocean's surface temperatures are cooler than they are farther down in the south, or the down near the islands of the Caribbean. And so it is likely to continue to weaken as it pushes northward. Of course, it stays off the coast of North Carolina. And it does that because this trough is digging across the area, across the east coast, and that's helping to keep the storm offshore. The Bermuda High also helps to provide a pathway for it. Now, it may make landfall down or up around Maine or Nova Scotia. So we'll take a look at that here with the wave heights. This is going to be really probably the biggest impact that we'll see. Heavy surf, strong waves, of course, the potential for some beach erosion, some overwash, some coastal flooding. We'll pause it here at 11 a.m. on Friday. And you can see right there, that dot is Bermuda. And over here, here we are in North Carolina. The orange shaded would be, say, between 10 and 15 foot surf. That's going to be, or seas, I should say, that's going to be out to sea. But the surf right here in the Outer Banks is likely to be somewhere between 4 and 8 feet. And of course, that can be enough on Highway 12 to create overwash, and it will likely eat up the coast. And of course, this is another system coming almost in exactly the same place as we saw Franklin 2 weeks ago. We're happy that it's not making landfall, but it's still likely to cause some damage on the coast of North Carolina as we get into the day Friday. This is Sunday morning, and right here is Maine, and this is Nova Scotia, and you could see the center of circulation there potentially making landfall, so there could be a landfalling hurricane there in Maine and up into parts of Canada. We're looking at increasing rip current threat starting around Wednesday or Thursday and increasing through the weekend into early next week along the coast of North Carolina. And as I mentioned, potentially some overwash, some coastal flooding, and some erosion. Right now we have a front that is mainly stalled over us that's going to continue to weaken. It is not likely to bring us much in terms of rain today. It will continue to fizzle out. And then on Tuesday, another front gets close to us. We'll have a better chance of a few isolated storms on Tuesday. And then that front pushes eastward, and we'll have the best chance for rain all week on Wednesday afternoon from Raleigh eastward, right along that front. You can see how the colors turn yellow and red. It's going to be our best chance for rain. Right now, we're not looking at much of a threat for severe storms, but we will have the best chance of rain there on Wednesday. Once that moves through, we're looking at much cooler temperatures behind it, looking at highs in the low 80s Thursday through Saturday, and our overnight lows will be in the 50s. It'll be our first really good taste of fall.
We can't wait. Elizabeth, thanks. A long-lost model of an X-Wing fighter used in the original 1977 Star Wars movie is up for auction. How much you'll have to pony up just to join the bidding war.
New winners. This month's tickets are packed with over $98 million in total prizes. The Winners Club awaits.
Easy Pro Bass Express.
At Northern High School in Durham after a stabbing. This happened around 11 a.m. and stemmed from a fight on campus. At least one person was hurt and taken to the hospital. Multiple people are in custody. The sheriff says there is no longer a threat to the community. We're asking more questions. We'll bring you updates during our evening news starting at 4.
A Cumberland County Sheriff's deputy has serious injuries after he was hit by a car while directing traffic outside a school during drop-off. This happened at 7:30 this morning outside Lake Rim Elementary in Fayetteville. Officials say the driver stayed at that scene. The deputy is in the hospital, stable but serious condition.
Today marks 22 years since the 9/11 attacks. The nation will never forget. Nearly 3,000 lives were lost, including 343 firefighters. President Biden will mark the occasion later today, and Americans are paying tribute in various ways all across the country. Here in North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper joined the National Guard for a 9/11 remembrance ceremony in Raleigh, and a remembrance ceremony was also held at Fort Liberty.
The model of an X-Wing fighter used in the climactic battle in the first Star Wars movie hits the auction block next month. The top two wings of the fighter are both painted with a single red stripe, identifying it as the squadron's red leader. It was part of the collection that belonged to the late model maker Greg Jein. Now, long known as the Mixing X-Wing, it was discovered by a team of visual effects experts, as they say they helped Jein's family sift through that collection. Starting bid is a mere $400,000. Dashcam video captured a terrifying experience for a Utah family. The car was headed eastbound on the interstate when the base of a chair flew right at the windshield. The video shows that metal piece hitting the passenger side of the windshield, shattering it. Five people were inside the vehicle at the time, two in the front seat, three in the back seat. A woman in the front passenger seat was cut across her legs by the shattered glass, but no one else was injured.
Brace yourself for a heartwarming reunion courtesy of the Rockhampton Zoo in Australia. This is the moment a three-year-old chimpanzee was reunited with his surrogate mother. Gandali was rushed to the vet after he was bitten by an eastern brown snake. After an overnight stay, the vets allowed him to return to the enclosure with his mother, Samantha. Her maternal instincts kicked in as she held him tightly. Get ready for puppy overload from Love Mutt's Rescue. It looks like two, but there are actually five puppies. They go in their crate on their own to nap and for bed. The puppies are from three litters and range in age from 3 months to 4 months. They walk well on a leash and sit when asked. We're told they are very affectionate with people and get along well with dogs. Some are used to cats. You can apply now at Love Mutt's Rescue to talk with fosters once approved.
Today at 4, an auto union strike looks likely and it could have major economic impacts. We'll explain how it could hit your wallet. That's tonight at 4, WRL News.
Well, the weather looks absolutely beautiful from this view at Dorothea Dix Park in downtown Raleigh. Go out and enjoy yourself. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
We certainly waited a long time for, you know, a beautiful look at White Lake and Bladen County. You can get breaking news updates anytime with the WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.